Are you ready?
Massacre.
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 Don't you love it?
Yes, there ain't nothing like the real thing. Baby, that's right, it's the Real Deal Holyfield, all up in your periphery, Massacre Radio. I, of course, am your host, Members Only Dave, and there is a lot to get into with this episode number 44, as a little bit later on I'll be joined by Lewis and Justin, the producers of this fine radio program, and we're going to get into some of the current events, and I'll get their take on everything from the past week or so that's been happening in the news, so that's coming up in just a little bit. But first, I'm joined by writer, director, and all-around good guy, Bruno Veljanovski, all the way from Croatia. This guy's on vacation, and he took the time to call me despite that. We're taking it back to the Balkans, baby. Massacre Radio goes international once again. Come on!
This is Massacre Radio.
WKMA Cleveland. Radio with a kick.
Summer has hit a fever pitch, so you know what that means. It's time for the Massacre Video Summer Sale, July 25th through the 31st. It's hot as heck and so are the deals. Enjoy Blu-rays for as low as $10 and DVDs starting at just $5. No pre-orders are included in the sale and no coupon code is needed. Do not miss out on these scorching deals. Visit Massacre Video and grab your favorite titles at unbeatable prices before it's too late.
Members Only Dave on Massacre Radio.
You don't want to fuck with this guy.
Only on WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station.
We are back. It's Massacre Radio right here on WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station. And wouldn't you know it, joining me now on the Massacre Radio hotline, it's writer, director, and actor Bruno Veljanovski. Hey, Bruno, thanks for your time tonight, man. I know you're on vacation now calling in from Croatia, so I appreciate you cutting off a chunk of time to speak with me. What's popping off in Croatia right now? Seems like a fun place to have a party.
Yeah, I arrived here yesterday. It's my second day. I'm still kind of adjusting to being on vacation. You know, I was working up until the last moment. Now I'm on this beautiful island in Croatia by the Adriatic Sea and enjoying the sun and trying to get into the whole relaxation thing while I'm getting out of the whole working everyday thing. So I'm still acclimatizing. I'm still adjusting to it.
Okay, so aside from vacationing, what are some other hobbies you have to kind of break up your time throughout a given day or week? You know, are you into snooker, billiards, karam, the WNBA by chance? I mean, what's your thing?
Did you research me that well? Yeah, I do like billiard, actually. I like comics as well, but I guess I like buying them more than reading them because, you know, there's a whole pile that I still haven't gotten around to reading. Yeah, basically, that's how I spend my time, aside from all the, you know, Eastern European vices that take about a lot of the time of a young boy's life.
So it says here, Bruno, that you're based in Serbia now, but you are originally from Skopje, the capital of Macedonia, for all you geography nerds out there. I couldn't help but take notice of the Vardar River there in Skopje. Just talk a little bit about how important the river is to the locals there, and maybe a favorite memory involving such a fine aquatic scene. And take it from me, you know, I have the beautiful mighty Cuyahoga in my backyard, so when you get a river in your area, that is not something that you want to take for granted, especially when it's as beautiful as the mighty Cuyahoga, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, I've lived for the first 28, 29 years of my life there. I'm 30 now, by the way.
Okay.
So I've moved in Belgrade for like a year and a half ago, approximately. I started working as an actor over there. So I met a girl and you know how that goes. So I moved there. I live in Skopje. I live 5 minutes walking distance from the Vardar River. It's a beautiful city. Yeah, I have fantastic memories of there. I go, I visit, I try to visit more often, but, you know, I go there every month and a half, every 2 months. I go there for like a week, hang out, see my parents, see my friends, see my city, take a walk or a bike ride along the, because Skopje is not like a circle. The city is not like a, you know, like a shape like that. It's more like a spear, let's say, that goes along the riverbank. So you can go from one, the furthest eastern point of the city to the all the way to the opposite end of the city just by walking or biking alongside the river. So yeah, it's a beautiful city. Mm-hmm. So that's another plus.
Yeah, you know, I was researching it before we got on the horn here, and it certainly seems like a beautiful area, no doubt about it. You know, Bruno, I was looking deeper into your film credits and noticed that before acting, you were doing more things behind the scenes, like writing and directing sort of thing, you know, compared to more and more acting opportunities these days. How and when did the shift from behind the camera to acting take place, and was it a conscious decision, would you say?
It kind of happened for me. I mean, I've always had the affinity. I always wanted to work as an actor, and some of my closest friends are film directors. So I knew that, you know, eventually I'm going to get casted. So it was subconsciously or consciously, I knew that it was eventually going to happen. I'm going to shift and be in front of the camera eventually. But the way it happened is by pure luck, I guess. Justin Martel, who is a New York-based producer, me and him, we go a few years back when he was scouting Macedonia and the Balkans in general for potential locations for shooting, you know. So we met almost by accident. We kept in touch for a few years, and then he was doing this movie in Belgrade in Serbia, and he was like, you know, we're looking for an actor, and, you know, I told the director, you kind of have the, maybe you should try out, you kind of have the look for it. And I did try out, and they were like, wow, okay, let's do it. So now I had a problem. I was like, okay, I have to actually do this. I have to actually star in a movie. It's also a movie that's being shot on 16 millimeter. You know, it's not digital. I can't mess up my lines. You can't really do a do-over. Mm-hmm. I can't really mess up. It was a big transition, but I think I handled it well. And ever since then, I've been kind of, yeah, I've done a few films after that, a couple of commercials. But yeah, I've been working behind the camera for 10 years before I actually did the shift. I mean, I still work as a writer. I still write. I still direct. But now I'm also in front of the camera, and I enjoy it.
Writer, director, actor Bruno Veljanovski is my guest today on Massacre Radio. Okay, so as far as your acting is concerned, it seems like you have a lot of projects either that recently came out or are about to come out. What do you attribute this recent string of acting success to? Is it a case of hard work finally paying off, or is it something else?
I've always enjoyed writing because I was writing since I was like 15, you know, some scripts for like comic books and some screenplays. I eventually went to film school. I studied film and television directing. I've always wanted to act, but I didn't really felt comfortable or really wanted to be involved in theater so much. So never really went that way with to study acting, you know, because I knew I would be confined to the theater for most part, because in Macedonia we have like, what, 2 feature films a year, you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess I went that way. I want to do this.
We're going to take a brief time out here on Massacre Radio and be back with more from my guest, Bruno Veljanovski, after this.
Próximamente después del espectáculo. Chicos, si ella lo quiere tanto, entonces por qué se dobló y se movía para su jefe en el lugar de trabajo. La respuesta es de otros problemas de relaciones. Siguiente aquí en WKM Cleveland, una estación HD2.
Hey, I gotta tell you, life's good. The vacation just started, it's a beautiful day, I'm at the beach, but there's only one problem. It's too fucking noisy around here.
Pop in those earbuds, Romeo, and dial up Massacre Radio on your HD2 dial. All the summer sizzle you can handle and then some. Massacre Radio, the perfect summertime companion. Yeah!
I got a problem, David.
We're back. It's Massacre Radio on WKMA Cleveland. Radio with a kick on your HD2 dials, as it would be. You know, in the break, I was looking up more facts about the Vardar River we had discussed earlier. You see, the Vardar River was initially named Axios and is even mentioned by the Greek poet Homer on more than one occasion. The river even proved to be very popular during the Ottoman Empire, which would explain the many folk songs written in its honor. You know, that's a little bit of a 411 on the Vardar River for all you river enthusiasts out there. So anyway, my guest today is writer, director, actor Bruno Veljanovski. He's on vacation in Croatia right now as he's speaking to us. Now, it says here your first acting role was in a film called 8 Eyes, available now on Blu-ray as the first Vinegar Syndrome in-house production. And it seems like the aesthetic and vibe they were going for is the 70s exploitation type deal. So when preparing to act in a project like that, Bruno, what were some of the
films you were drawing inspiration from to really maximize your presence on screen?
I watched a bunch of Rob Zombie movies. I rewatched them, actually. Bunch of Rob Zombie movies, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, obviously. Some local films as well. Tattoo, it's a Macedonian film. It's mostly set in a prison. But there's a lot of, it's from the same period. There's a lot of colorful characters that kind of drew inspiration. I got some inspiration from a Disney movie called The Treasure Planet. There's this Long John Silver character that subconsciously very inspiring for me for the role.
You know, I don't think I've seen Treasure Planet, but I do remember it coming out and being a flop, though. Maybe I should check it out, though. I mean, who knows? You know, it's been a lot of time since then.
Oh, you should. You told me it's a very underrated cartoon animated film. You know, I guess you can't really, you know, I became sort of like a sponge and getting little bits and pieces from here and there, and which would help me enrich the character that I was playing.
You know, you also mentioned Rob Zombie there, Bruno. Are you as into his music as you are his films? I mean, do you ride around blasting Dracula or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's his music is very interesting because you can work out to it, you can dance to it, you can make love to it, you can, you know, it's very versatile.
Now, it says here you finished your latest short film that you wrote and directed titled Objects in Mirror Are Closer Than They Appear. It's a psychological thriller. What's your goal with this latest project? Do you plan on submitting it to any festivals, I take it?
Yeah, days or weeks away from getting the final export, the DCP one. So we're going to start submitting it to a lot of festivals. I finished it, I polished it, and it just waited in a drawer for 5 years until I submitted it to the Macedonian Film Agency. And after a few months, they approved it. So I got some funding for it. We shot it, and I'm very happy. I'm very proud of my crew and of the product that we got at the end. And now, pretty soon, we're going to start sending it to the festival circuit. And, you know, crossed fingers. I hope we get some success out of it. Hopefully that will lead to my first full-length feature film that I am going to direct and, you know, write, obviously.
Well, you know, you mentioned it there, Bruno. Do you have any ideas rolling around in the hopper of what your first feature would be? I mean, what are you thinking here?
Well, yeah. There's this story that I've been working on for the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. It's a dark thriller with psychological and horror elements. So it's my opus. Basically, I'm working a bunch of stuff parallelly, but that one is the one that I always come back to. So hopefully, you know, if everything goes well by some plans that I have for my future, hopefully we're going to start doing it in a couple of years tops.
You know, just real quick as an aside here, Bruno, don't you think it's odd that they use mirrors on cars where the objects appear closer than they appear? You know, why don't they just put in a regular mirror where the objects are as exactly as they appear, you know? What's up with that?
Well, the majority of the film happens in an automobile, and that's a fantastic guess that you just did. It is the little sign that's on the rearview mirror. So that's how we tied it up. I thought it sounded cool and smart, I guess.
Writer, director, actor Bruno Veljanovski is my guest today on Massacre Radio. He plays a priest in Subspecies 5, which was, of course, directed by a friend of this show, Ted Nicolau, who we were fortunate enough to have on the program way back in Episode 3. So, Bruno, I have to ask, you know, talk a little bit about what it was like working with Ted. He certainly seems like a creative force even still.
Yes, Ted Nicolau is a hell of a guy. I had a wonderful opportunity to work with him. I was actually a script supervisor for the film, for Subspecies 5. And I also got that little bit part. I had one shooting day. I had this one big scene. I played the priest who steals Baby Radu in the fifth installment of the series, which is actually the prequel. I had a lot of fun. He is a great guy. He is very creative. He is fantastic at working with actors. Fantastic guy to hang around with. And he also worked on the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about that as well, you know, because prior to Subspecies, we did Eight Eyes. It was just a couple of months before that. So we had some stuff to talk about, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I know you were on set to work and get a job done, but did you find any time on the side or whatever to talk some shop with Ted and pick his brain, so to speak, on how he does things and whatnot?
Well, you know, he's a pretty busy guy. You know, I didn't want it to bother him all that much. But yeah, here and there between takes, a cup of coffee, we talk a little bit, you know, we talk shop, you know, as it goes. And mostly we talked about, you know, the subspecies, because that's the movie that we were working on. But we also, you know, talked a lot about old movies that people have rarely seen. And I'm one of the people that have seen a bunch of old weird movies, because, you know, being from Southeastern Europe, we get, you know, or there's no like ratings or whatever on television. They just play anything.
Right.
You know, after 10 years after a movie premiered, they buy the rights and they play it on TV. So I've seen a bunch of stuff that a lot of people haven't really had the opportunity to watch. So we talked about some bizarre forgotten films as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like 11 when I watched Subspecies 1. So I was like, this is, and even back then I was like, this is a very accurate representation of Eastern European beliefs of vampires, and like what in the Western world, how they're depicted, how vampires are depicted in the Western world. When I was a kid, literally, and I watched Subspecies 1, I was like, yes, this is very connected to our local folklore. So I give him kudos for that.
So, Bruno, when you're making your own film and you're behind the camera, what are a few things that you would say are your hallmarks, you know, your techniques or approaches to directing that you do that are synonymous with your work, would you say?
I like to play it dirty sometimes, you know. That's in my, I wouldn't say that's my style, because my style and my aesthetic are, you know, fluid as an artist, you know, with time passing and with you get a sort of different sense of what you want to do and how you want to do it. But basically, I've always wanted, you know, the little dirty look on film. So even though I shoot a movie on a 4K camera, I still green it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I still, even though it's a shot with a Steadicam or a shoulder rig, I give it a little shake. You know, because that's what's appealing to my eye, and that's what I want to bring closer to my audience, for them to see the beauty through my eyes, how I see things, how I like things. I guess that would be a bit of my staple, I guess. And also editing, I like a little bit of a chaotic editing, like in what's the Denzel Washington movie, Burning Man?
Yes, yes.
I like stuff like that. I like stuff like that, you know. It's appealing to my eyes, so that's what I serve my audience as well.
So just as it pertains to what you do creatively and also what you're trying to achieve with it all, Bruno, define success as you see it. What does success look like to you?
I don't want to sound, you know, egoistic or whatever, but I guess if I like it, if I have achieved what I set out to achieve, I guess that's, I have achieved success. And if other people like it as well, then man, you know, just that's just a bonus.
I mean, that's the icing on the cake then, huh?
Yes, that's very well put, sir. Thank you.
Bruno, tell us more about some of the other projects you have been working on or that you have coming out soon before we get you out of here. I mean, what do you have going on?
Ah, well, I have to get this out there. I worked with Toby Poser and John Adams with the Adams Family
right,
on their latest film titled Hellhole. It's going to have its premiere on August 23rd on Fantasia Film Festival. Hellhole is sort of a creature feature type of film. I don't want to, since the trailer is still not out, I want to spoil stuff, but it's entirely shot in Serbia on Ertanj Mountain, which is this mountain that's literally shaped like a pyramid, this old mine, and we had a fantastic time doing it. Todd Masters did the special effects, so put it on your list, and I bet you're going to enjoy it.
We'll be sure to mark that down on our calendars. Mine just so happens to be a dry erase calendar here from the sound of things, but Bruno Veljanovski, thanks again for your time today on Massacre Radio, and all the best to you and yours and your future projects, okay? Have a great day, man.
To everyone listening, thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day as well.
Massacre Radio. It's Members Only Dave back here with you now, and I'm joined by Louis Justin and Justin Rice. Of course, they're the producers of this fine, fine radio program, and we're just going to talk some shop, as it seems. I found some interesting pieces of news that I want to go through with these guys and see what they think. But first, hey, you know, we just finished listening to my conversation with this week's guest, Bruno Veljanovski. And I was asking him about the Vardar River there in North Macedonia. It got me wondering, fellas, do you have any body of water that you really seem to fancy or find intriguing?
I don't know.
Never really thought about it, huh?
I can't say I thought about that, Dave, no.
What about you, Justin? Anything, any body of water that springs to mind?
Oh, I'm trying to think of something. I mean, I fear the ocean. I won't go in that.
You won't even go in it?
No, no, lakes are fine. So I guess all lakes are cool, but the ocean, you just look at it and respect it.
Yeah, I mean, there's Lake Erie that once famously was on fire. That's right by Cleveland. That's a nice thing.
You're right in my backyard. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you guys about the Windows, the outage that rocked the world. What was that, on Friday or Thursday, I believe? I don't remember, but the outage had corporations on its knees looking for a solution, and I'd argue that this occurrence is a strong argument for pro-physical media. I mean, what good is streaming if you can't even access your device? Your thoughts, fellas?
Well, I agree. I think this is the perfect point for physical media. They can shut everything down in the flick of a switch. I'm not saying this was intentionally shut down, but, you know, if air traffic control can be taken down, what can they do to your digital files? So physical media is really the only way to go.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that this happened on an election year. It's just, they got to flex their power, you know, show us that they can shut down the grid at any time. And we need to have our Blu-rays and DVDs ready.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I think that's that about sums that up. Hey, did you guys see this story? The American billionaire that just spent $44.6 billion at an auction for the largest and most intact stegosaurus skeleton in the world. I have some audio for you guys. Go ahead and listen to this.
Just how rare is it? It sold at auction for a staggering record price.
In terms of stegosauruses, this is an incredibly rare animal. There are only 8 or 9 known in the world.
Louis, your first impressions of the $45 billion stegosaurus. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, first, I'm not sure what a stegosaurus is, but it sounds pretty rare, so it's probably worth the money. and I'm sure all of his billionaire friends are really jealous now of his stegosaurus acquiring. I don't know.
I mean, Justin, other than a stegosaurus, what do you think you'd spend $44.6 billion on?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that we can argue that the stegosaurus is worth that much money. But my question is, what do you do with it? Because I would bet that it's just going to go in a fucking museum. Second, you know, if it went into your house, what do you do with a $45 billion object in your house? Like, it's too much. It needs to be under the responsibility of somebody or, you know, a bunch of other people than just having a giant stegosaurus skeleton in your house.
Yeah, I think at the end of the report that I got the audio from, they said they're going to, like, loan it to, like, a museum kind of thing, you know. But, man, that price tag, $44.6 billion with a B, I just can't wrap my mind around that.
Well, yeah, and I get that it should cost that much, but how much, you know, is it an investment? Usually people spend that much money in a situation for something that is going to appreciate in value. Do you think that stegosauruses can literally only get less rare. We can only find more. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go up in value. It seems like a dumb thing to spend that much money on to me.
I want to talk to you guys about celebrity deaths. You know, since July 12th alone, we've said goodbye to Dr. Ruth, Shannon Doherty, Richard Simmons, Lou Dobbs, and Bob Newhart. That's quite a who's who, guys. My question, gentlemen, is who's next? Give me a few more names you think are most likely to kick the proverbial stack of books.
Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that Bob Newhart just died, and I thought that happened a decade ago. That came as a total surprise. Yeah, I'm amazed he was still alive. Yeah.
I got a list on my phone of people who should be dying sometime soon, but it's 2 years old now and only Bob Barker has died from it. Did Mel Brooks die?
Not yet. I don't believe it. He is still alive, in fact. Yes.
He's got to go. he's going to die this
and
year.
Dick Van Dyke's also still alive, I believe.
How about Maggie Smith?
That's one, yeah.
Got to be dead. She's going to die. Dick Van Dyke, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Jimmy Plant and Robert Page are both still alive.
I'm with you on that.
They got to go. I mean, all the Stones got to go. I mean, probably, realistically, Clint Eastwood.
Oh, and you know what? I'm sorry, I forgot. On July 11th, one day before the I mentioned, we lost Shelley Duvall. So that's another one. I mean, that's all within the last like 10 days of this recording. So, I mean, we're kind of it's kind of like, what do they call that? A murderer's row of dead people, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there was that period turning over from 2015 to 16 where Lemmy from Motorhead and David Bowie and Prince all died within like 2 or 3 weeks of each other. But this is definitely a notable deluge of celebrity death.
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing here. Now, as everyone knows, WKMA Cleveland and Massacre Radio are the number one ambassador for the WNBA. And Justin, I know you had some stuff on Caitlin Clark you wanted to share here. I know she recently set the WNBA record for assists in a game with 19. Justin, what do you have on Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, you know, same game, she also broke the WNBA all-time record for most points scored or assisted on in a game. So, I mean, it was a pretty big deal. But, you know, the big story of this whole year is that she's getting the shit beat out of her constantly, and that Angel Reese is supposed to be the dark horse for the actual Rookie of the Year that was supposed to be a shoe-in for Caitlin Clark. So now those two have been battling out. Caitlin Clark's been getting the shit beat out of her. Angel Reese has just been collecting rebounds off of her own misses for a long time. And they finally played together for the first time ever last night in the WNBA All-Star game where they played the Olympic team, mm-hmm. and they beat them. I don't know. I think the future is bright for the WNBA. I think they've got a lot of rookie stars that are showing up now, and they're destroying the old guard.
Justin, do you think that they're being too hard on Caitlin Clark with all the rough and tumble play with her? Do you think they're going too far, or do you think they're not going far enough?
No, I think that they're doing what they should be doing. I think when a rookie comes into the league and is tiny like she is, you got to just beat the hell out of her and show her that she's either got to toughen up or get the hell out of the league. Same thing happened to, you know, Steph Curry, and he used to be really, really small, and then he kind of bulked up and became the best player in the league, so it can happen for her, and she just got to fight through it. But she definitely should be getting beat up as bad as she is.
Well, Lewis, you heard that powerful testimony on Caitlin Clark at the WNBA. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I do not, David.
Well, guys, if there's anything else you guys would like to throw into the discussion, feel free. Otherwise, we can just put a nice little bow on this and call it a day.
Well, I think we would be remiss if we had a news segment and didn't mention that Joe Biden just dropped out of the presidential race and seem to possibly not endorse Kamala Harris for the nomination.
Yeah, I didn't know how deep in the weeds you guys wanted to get on that, but I that's definitely worth mentioning. And I mean, I want to even go back even further to the attempted assassination. Do you guys are there any conspiracy theories that you guys are believing in? Are you guys like the second shooter on the water tower type guys or what?
No, I think the whole thing makes sense that both the Secret Service would be incompetent enough to let something like that happen, and that the only person who would actually try to kill Trump is a complete idiot.
So you think those are the both most likely the scenario? Yeah.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. He was like some loser who was spending thousands of dollars on different OnlyFans accounts and stuff, and it's like some 20-year-old who's been bullied his whole life. I mean, it makes sense that a total idiot like that would be the one to try it.
Yeah, didn't they say that like he recently, like one of his last searches was for porn before he got up on the roof there?
Yeah, I saw some chicks that posted that they have like OnlyFans payments from this guy and stuff too.
Interesting. Yeah, well, the plot seems to thicken. With each passing day, there seems to be more and more conspiracy theories thrown about. You know, there's so much information abound, it's tough to make heads or tails of any of it, you know?
I agree.
Well, anyways, guys, I think that about does it for us and for this installment of Massacre Radio. Thanks again to my guest, Bruno Belyanovsky, and thanks again to you for listening. As always, I've been your host, Members Only Dave, and I'll talk at you next week.